he said flatly. Am I mad? No, Sam, I'm not mad. I only came around the corner of the castle in time to see a fucking dragon rearing back to blow fire at you and Justin. I could only stand there when you turned the air around you to ice and the fire descended on you. I could only scream your name when he struck you and knocked you 30 feet into the side of a building. I could only run much too late when the dragon grabbed Justin and took off. Do you know what happened then? Do you, Sam? The pressure from its wings coming down collapsed the building on top of you. I sat there watching it fly away as a building fell on top of you. So no, I'm not mad. I'm fucking furious. I didn't do well with anger, especially when it was directed toward me, especially when directed by Ryan. His lips were curved in a snarl, and his eyes were flashing, and all I could think was, back off! Back off! Back off! Flippant, I was. It wasn't a building, I said, just a shed. He laughed bitterly. Sure, yeah, just a shed. Exactly what I told myself when I pulled your unconscious body out from underneath the rubble. We thought you had... He rubbed a hand over his flushed face, the words seemingly stuck in his throat. So I said, I'm sorry. In a small voice. Sorry, he said. You're sorry. Because apparently he thought repeating my sorry-ass words back to me was making this conversation easier. What do you want me to say? I didn't ask to be attacked by a fucking dragon. You shouldn't have been out there in the first place, he shouted at me. What the hell were you thinking, taking Justin out to the sparring fields? Without an escort? How could you ever think that was a good idea? You think I took him out there? I snapped. That's what you think? Why else would he be out there? Just because you have no regard for your own life doesn't mean you get to endanger others. Right, I said. Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Glad you have all of the facts and made a logical conclusion. And you're right. I love danger. It's what I do. I shook my head. You know, for a moment, it sounded like you were worried about me. Fuck knows why I thought that. After all, I haven't seen you in, what, 12 days? Avoidance much? He reeled back, as if I'd slapped him. Sam, he said hoarsely. Don't bother, I said, pushing past him. The king has ordered me to help you find Justin. I'll do it because I owe him everything. Not you, not Justin, the king. Once I do, and everything is back to normal in your perfect little life, I'll be gone. I stormed out of the labs, slamming the door behind me. Oh my God, you diva, Gary said the next morning. You didn't. I scowled at him and rolled my eyes, shoving another spare tunic into the bundle spread out on my bed. You went full-on bitchy and made a dramatic exit. He sounded way too gleeful over my histrionics. I have taught you well, my young apprentice. He was being an asshole, I said. He deserved it. What a dick knocker. Fucking candy-ass bitch whore. The angrier you are, the less your insults make sense, Gary observed. It's adorable. I glared at him. Go eat a moderately small child and choke on its bones. See? That didn't even make sense. Why would I eat a child? They're sticky. I will murder everything you love, I growled at him. That would be suicide, he said solemnly, because I love you. I gaped at him. He laughed at me. Cheating, I muttered. What can you do?
I smash him, Tiggy said from his spot on the floor.
Tig, Gary said. We discussed this. You can't smash everything. Yes, you can, I said. You can smash all you want. Smash Gary, then Ryan.
I love Gary, he said. No Gary smash. And Ryan take your flower. No Ryan smash.
He didn't take my flower. And stop calling it that. Don't yell at him because you haven't been penetrated, Gary said. I wrinkled my nose. Okay. Time out on the fighting thing. Can we all agree that none of us should ever use the word penetration in that context again? Yeah, Gary said with a grimace. I don't even know why I said that.
It gross,
Tiggy said. Okay, rule 427 of the Sam Gary Tiggy friendship has been agreed upon. No saying penetration when referring to boning.
I,
Tiggy and Gary said. Okay, time in. I can yell at whoever I want. You really can't, Gary said. It's unattractive on you. Some people pull off the angry look. You're not one of them. I am sexy angry. Watch. I turn the full extent of my wrath on Gary and Tiggy. They laughed at me. Son of a bitch, I muttered. Not even a little sexy tingle?
No,
Tiggy said.
Not even.
You look like a constipated otter, Gary said. I don't know how I have any self-esteem left with you two by my side, I moaned. It's why I can never have nice things. I suppose Ryan is a nice thing, Gary said. And we were back to the anger. The fucking princess rock flipper. Yes, dear, he is a princess rock flipper. Which is why he was absolutely terrified when he carried you back into the castle, and why he wouldn't leave your side. Terrified. That should not make me feel good. At all. But then, well, of course he was. His fiance had just been kidnapped by a dragon. He was waiting for me to wake up so he could question me, or rather yell at me, because he's a cock-sucking roasted pork. Gary stared at me. What? For some reason, I put my hands over my chest like he was using unicorn vision to scope out my nipples. There is no hope for you, he finally said. Like none. My vision is darkening like your overwrought soul. Hey, Tiggy.
Gary,
Tiggy said. If Sam were a tree, you know what kind of tree he'd be?
What kind?
A pine. Because of all the pining. Unicorns should never tell jokes, I told them. They didn't hear me because Tiggy was laughing too loud.
Gary funny,
Tiggy said, wiping the tears from his eyes with his big hand.
Gary so funny.
Whatever. You all need to get out. I need to finish packing before I go to my meeting this afternoon. We leave tomorrow. Gary said. Yes, your meeting. Your secret meeting that you never tell anyone about or where it is or why you go. That meeting? I'm a wizard, I said. I'm supposed to have secrets. Apprentice, Gary reminded me. And I know everything about you. Lie and rude. You do not. I am mysterious. Yeah, okay. You're mysterious, just like you get sexy angry. Sometimes I wonder why I put up with the both of you. Because you love us, Gary said.
And we love you,
Tiggy said. So I said, God damn it! And hugged it out with the both of them. Because feelings. You sure you want to go out? Gary said before he left my chambers. You took a beating. Maybe you should just stay in. It's not every day you get attacked by a dragon and then get thrown across a field. I shrugged. I'm sore. But it's not too bad. If I stay here, I'll just be brooding. It's best for me to get out. It'll be my last chance to see the City of Locks for a while. I just want to say goodbye. Well, we'll be back, you know, It's not goodbye as much as it's so long. You'll see. I just nodded and closed the door. I didn't have the heart to tell him how apt I thought the goodbye had been. Chapter 10. Are you a foxy lady or a Sam girl? I didn't even want to go to this stupid meeting. Stupid Ryan fucking Foxheart. He was such an asshole, but I had to go. Because it was my turn to bring muffins. And I would never hear the end of it if I didn't show when it was my turn to bring the muffins. I stopped by the kitchen and picked up the basket Cook had prepared as I'd requested in secret. He never asked what it was for, because at least he thought I was mysterious. I'm sure he thought I'd take the muffins to the dark woods and crumble them over goat's blood as I cast a spell that invited demons to suckle on my soul. Or he just didn't care and made me food because he was Cook and that was his job. Whatever. So I mysteriously took the basket of poppy seed muffins and absconded from the castle. Once I was outside the gates, I pushed my way through the crowds into a narrow alleyway, looking back to make sure I wasn't followed. The coast was clear. I set down the basket and opened my rucksack. I pulled out a floppy brown wig and pulled it over my hair. The wig covered my forehead and ears, the hair curling out at the tips. There was a matching beard that covered most of my face and came down to the middle of my chest. And finally, a pair of thick-rimmed glasses. Mervin had returned. Yes, I could have probably easily altered my looks with magic, but I'd made a promise to Morgan early on not to use it for such frivolous things. And shaping magic could be dangerous. Addictive. Alterations here and there until you completely forgot what your original shape looked like. I never wanted to forget. I went out of the alley at the opposite end and crossed three more blocks until I reached a cafe on the corner. Look, I'd faced some pretty terrible things in my life. The dark wizards, fire geckos, an elf who had somehow thought we were meant to be and wanted to go through the elven rite of passage, where during the act of consummation he'd need to eat one of my fingers. No, Svenel, I don't want to make love to you while you eat my thumb, you fucking asshole. I've been cursed, burned, stabbed, hexed, kicked, punched, and on one memorable occasion had somehow ended up tied to a table while an ogre whipped my bare ass and grunted how pretty my reddened skin was. I knew I wasn't a prude. Suck it, Gary. Hell, just yesterday, I'd faced down a dragon. But no matter where I'd been, no matter everything I'd seen, there was one opponent that rose above all others. An adversary so devious and cunning and bloodthirsty that she put all the others to shame. Her eyes fell upon me from her seat at the head of the table outside the shop. The rest of the club was spread out around her like she was a queen and they were her subjects. Except she was more of a tyrant than anything else. One who had no scruples, nor a kind bone in her body. Her gaze grew calculating. My hackles raised, and I prepared for battle. Lady Tina De Silva, the president of the Ryan Foxheart fan club, Castle Locks chapter, and my most mortal of enemies. Oh, look, everyone. Mervin has arrived, and he brought the muffins. If past experience have any impressions as to what we can expect, then they're sure to be as dry as his conventional skills. She was also 16 years old. And evil.
Hello, Lady Tina.
I said. Mervin's voice was lower than my own. I sounded ridiculous.
My, you're looking alive today. The color of your dress really brings out the extraordinary paleness of your skin tone. Are you unwell? Dying, perhaps?
She tittered. No, dear heart. I am actually quite well. I would ask the same of you, because you seem to have some bruises on your face and are holding yourself rather stiffly. Did someone take offense to one of your ever-present asinine meanderings? I should send them some flowers for doing what I've thought of for months.
I laughed as I sat down at the opposite end of the table.
Ha 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 ha! Oh, my sweet. Merely an accident of an inconsequential nature. Unlike, apparently, your makeup. Was it dark this morning when you applied it? Surely that's the only explanation, unless you somehow obtained employment as a jester. But then, you'd actually need to have a sense of humor for that. Perhaps you're applying to a brothel, then. I do hope your interview goes well. I'm sure you'll do wonders on your back.
The others, of which there were 14, ranging in ages from 10 to 52, looked back and forth between us with each verbal blow. They were used to it by now. This was, after all, the 26th meeting I had attended. It was almost mandatory that we cut each other to ribbons. If I was straight, and Tina not the bitch from hell, one would assume we were almost flirting. But I was gay, and Tina was the bitch from hell. We were not flirting. She fluttered a silk folding fan across her face. Oh, Mervyn, the feelings I experience upon seeing your countenance is akin to what I understand dysentery to be like. Explosively so. I cocked my head at her.
I'm sorry. Were you speaking to me? I apologize most profusely. I was distracted by the size of the sweat stains under your arms. Are you overly warm today? It seems unlikely given the cold, dead heart that surely beats in your chest.
Her eyes narrowed. You're an asshole, Mervyn. I snarled at her.
Bitch! I'll cut you, bitch!
We smiled darkly at each other. She fanned herself again. I passed around the muffins, and fuck her! They weren't dry. She said, And now that Mervyn has finally stopped talking, the meeting of the Ryan Foxhart Fan Club Castle Locks chapter can commence. Deidre, if you could please read a summation of the last meeting and be quick about it. A mousy girl of 12 years stood up and looked down at a piece of parchment paper in her hand. Opening minutes, she said. President Tina noted that Mervyn looked more flushed than usual and wondered aloud if he'd just gotten filleted by a street whore in the back alley. Mervyn responded that at least he would, and I quote, be getting some, unlike Tina who couldn't even find a streetwalker to take her money. President Tina then stated she wouldn't be surprised when Mervyn came to the next meeting with mouth sores and an itching rash in the most private of places. Mervyn replied that if that happened, he would just come to her for a solution since she obviously knew so much about itching rashes in private places. President Tina called him a ridiculous cockhound and Mervyn said he had never hit a girl before, but that there was always a first time. Dolores then handed out the blueberry muffins to which Mervyn said he was allergic and President Tina tried to force-feed him three of them. The minutes of the previous meeting were read and then for the next 4 hours there was a discussion on Ryan Foxhart's biceps. Deidre sat back down. Obviously, Tina said. Much has happened in the few weeks since we held the last meeting. First and foremost, our dearly beloved Knight Foxhart was promoted to Knight Commander Ryan Foxhart. We all sighed dreamily. And of course, since my parents are in the King's Court, she continued, I was in attendance, and ladies, let me tell you, he was glorious. I didn't know she'd been there. I thought I would have been able to smell the stench of putrid death. My nose must have been getting weaker. And I was not a lady. Yes, everyone else was, but I obviously wasn't.
Was he as dashing and immaculate as the papers claimed?
An older lady named Wanda asked. Mar, Tina said. His armor shone like moonbeams, and his hair was parted to the right. You know what that means.
He was feeling romantic, a girl named Chrissy said. He always parts his hair on the right when he's feeling romantic.
Actually, I said, his hair was slicked back for the ceremony.
They all stared at me. Well, except for Tina. She glared. I shrugged.
What? You were wrong. I was just pointing that out. How wrong you were.
What does slicked back hair mean?
A woman named Nicole asked tearfully. We've never discussed what it means when it's slicked back.
What does it mean?
Tina got a wicked gleam in her eye.
Obviously, it was his marriage hair, she said,
and I almost threw my muffin in her face.
He must have known Prince Justin had asked for his hand in marriage before the ceremony.
That wasn't marriage hair,
I argued.
That was his I'm in command now hair.
Tina rolled her eyes. Please, Ryan was all about Prince Justin. Ryston forever. He couldn't take his eyes off of him when the king made the announcement.
I don't know,
the oldest woman of the group said. Her name was Mary, and I thought she was awesome because she was a self-proclaimed Sam girl. Well, she was awesome for other things too, but the Sam girl thing made her even more awesome.
I was there too. Ryan didn't seem as pleased as one should with a marriage announcement, and he was staring at Sam for most of the night.
Okay, here we go again, Tina muttered.
He was?
I said, somewhat startled. Mary smiled at me.
He was. The look on his face when the king proclaimed the ball to follow was to find Sam a suitor almost broke my heart. It was like he had lost the only thing that mattered to him. He's totally crushing on Sam. Have heart forever.
I said, what? Tina said, he's not crushing on Sam. I don't know why you continue to insist on such a ridiculous pairing when there's obviously no chemistry between them. Ryan is now engaged to his beloved and will marry him and they'll have babies and dinner and gaze into each other's eyes. Epic poetry will be written about their love, and hundreds of years from now, people will still speak of the wonder that is Ryston.
I don't know,
a girl named Courtney said.
I think Sam and Ryan stare at each other when the other's not looking. There's always this indefinable something there. It's almost like lightning crackling between them.
I said, what?
And did you hear?
Mary said, sounding gleeful.
They danced for 3 straight songs. No one dances for that many songs. He didn't even dance with Justin that many times. Not in a row. It was like they were in their own little world, and nothing could bother them.
She sighed, eyes fluttering. He's a wizard, Tina said, scandalized. Justin is a prince? Why in the name of the gods would he want to take so many steps backward?
Sam is so mysterious, though, Nicole said, and I knew it. I knew I was mysterious. I took a bite of a muffin in victory.
It was a bit dry.
Damn it. He's always got this look on his face like he's working out the secrets of the universe. It's like he is the universe, and he wants nothing more than to solve Ryan's riddle.
I bet he wants to solve Ryan's riddle,
Mary said.
And then he probably wants to riddle his Ryan.
I choked on the muffin.
You okay?
Mary asked me. I coughed.
Yes, sorry. The muffin was just far too moist. I wasn't expecting it.
That look isn't about secrets,
Tina said.
He probably just has gas. Intestinal gas.
It's not gas,
I snapped at her.
Not that I would know, but it's probably not, and it's probably not anything to do with Ryan. I'm pretty sure Sam doesn't even really care about Ryan at all.
Mary laughed.
Oh, that's not true. Sam wants to eat him for breakfast. There is something there that doesn't exist between Ryan and Justin. And what about the date? Sam went on. Ryan was obviously jealous the whole time.
I was there,
a woman named Griselda exclaimed. Everyone turned to look at her and said,
Oh.
Tell us everything, Nicole demanded.
It was just, Oh my God, you guys. So there I was, eating my meal with my husband, minding my own business when in walked Sam and Ryan. And that guy Sam was on a date with.
Todd,
I supplied.
He has epic ears.
Yes, Todd,
she said dismissively.
I couldn't hear what they were saying,
but Ryan was standing so close to Sam, like he didn't want to let him out of his sight.
He was chaperoning, Tina said. It was his job to watch Sam.
Gross. I just agreed internally with something Tina said. I reminded myself to run tests when I got home to make sure I hadn't just been possessed by a demon.
You weren't there, Griselda said. It was more. When those dark wizards came in, he pulled out his big, long sword and tried to protect Sam. And even when the wizards were standing right there, Sam and Ryan were in their own little world, bantering back and forth, and the tension... You guys, the tension was ridiculous.
He tried to protect Sam? I said. Please. He just stood there and Sam was all badass and trapped all the darks by himself. Ryan was posing like he normally did, dashing and immaculate my ass.
They stared at me again.
Or so I read, I said. In the paper. Nothing else. I wasn't there. I was on the other side of the city doing stuff.
But it was obviously Sam's fault that Justin has been taken by the dragon, Tina said nastily. He was the one that kidnapped Justin and forced him out to the sparring fields. He probably had a deal with the dragon to take Justin away so he could steal Ryan. Sam of Wilds hates Ryston, and it's just so unfair.
No one can control dragons, I said. Hello, they're dragons. That's not how magic works.
Yeah, Tina said. Because you would know how magic works. If you did, you could magic yourself some less ridiculous facial hair.
I could say the same thing about you,
I said, and she was livid.
You guys, Courtney said. You know what, Mervyn? I'm getting sick of your... You guys, Courtney said.
Oh, please, Tina, your personality is like a...
You guys, Courtney said. My personality? You are the absolute worst. You guys, Courtney shouted.
We all looked at her. She had gone completely pale. She lifted a trembling finger. She said,
It's him.
We all looked where she was pointing. And yeah, fuck my life. Knight Commander Ryan Foxheart stood on the other side of the street, talking with a small group of people.
We all screamed, me for entirely different reasons than the others.
He looked up, startled. The entire fan club was waving maniacally at him, except for me. I was sinking down in my seat. Ryan waved back and held up a finger.
Does that mean he's coming over here?
Nicole said weakly.
Oh, dear gods. I think my underwear just fell off. Nicole!
Tina hissed.
Keep your comments to yourself. Be a respectable fucking lady for fuck's sake.
Mine did too,
Mary said, patting Nicole's arm.
Mervyn, where are you going?
Griselda asked, and damn her for noticing me trying to flee quietly into the crowd.
Nowhere. I mean, somewhere. I just remembered I have an important business meeting for business to discuss my business.
Mary grabbed my arm and pulled me back to my seat.
Don't be so shy, Mervyn. That can wait. Who knows when we'll ever get this chance again? It's not as if, oh my gods, he's coming over.
Well, shit. I looked over and, yeah, there he was, walking across the street like he didn't have a care in the world. To the outsider, he held himself tall and proud and looked every bit the knight commander that he was. But I knew him. I've been watching him, like a creep, for a long time. I saw the fake set of his smile, the slight purple lines under his eyes, the stiff hold of his shoulders. He was stressed and tired and confused.
Ladies, he said, glancing over the table. And gentlemen.
He smiled at me. They all giggled. I didn't, because I was too busy wondering if anyone would notice if I made myself invisible. It was almost worth the risk. Tina, the awful person that she was,
stood and posed, sticking her chest out as far as it could go. She looked like the back end of a horse. "Night, Commander," she all but purred. "How very kind of you to take time out of your busy schedule to come and mingle with the ladies."
"Hate you too, bitch,"
I mumbled under my breath.
"Are you some kind of social group?"
he asked. Tina preened, like a peacock. "Not just any social group," she said. "This is the Ryan Foxhart Fan Club Castle Locks chapter. We are the largest Foxhart fan club in all of the City of Locks. We're the Foxy Ladies."
"Well," Mary said, patting my hand, "the Foxy people. We don't discriminate."
"Fan club?"
Ryan asked, sounding adorably shocked. Then I remembered he was an asshole, and I was pissed off at him. So he wasn't adorably anything.
"Oh, wow. He wasn't kidding when he said that."
"Hell," Tina demanded.
"Sam, he's a friend of mine."
There was a tightening around his eyes, and I wanted to shout that we sure as shit didn't seem like friends yesterday. You motherfucker. I kept that bit to myself. Barely. And almost all the ladies sighed.
"Sam of Wilds," Mary said. "He knows about us."
Deidre burst into tears.
"He's just standing so close."
"Can you sign something?" Nicole demanded. "This paper, this napkin, my chest, my inner thighs, or my wildest dreams? Whatever you want." Ryan said.
"Whoa."
"Nicole," Tina barked. "Rein your slut back in."
"I can't believe Sam knows about us,"
Griselda said in awe.
"How?"
Courtney cried.
"How does he know? I want answers. I want him here. I changed my mind. I'm no longer about Ryston. Have heart forever."
"Have heart is where pairings go to die," Tina growled. "Long live Ryston."
"I just want to touch him,"
Deidre sobbed.
"What is even happening right now?" Ryan said.
"Ryston is Justin and Ryan,"
Mary explained.
"And Have Heart is Sam Haversford and Ryan Foxhart,"
Griselda said.
"Ryston and Have Heart?"
he said faintly.
"I don't even... I'm a Sam girl,"
Mary told him.
"Because of how he looks in tight pants. Edible. Edible is how he looks in tight pants."
"Oh my gods," I whispered feverishly. "This is happening right in front of me."
"And I'm a foxy lady," Tina said, "because of reasons." She stared at his chest. Everyone understood her reasons, even me. He looked back at me.
"So, you a foxy lady too, or a Sam girl?"
"What?"
I said, dropping my voice as low as it could go.
"No, not even shut your mouth."
He frowned.
"Do I know you from somewhere? You seem familiar."
And with that, everyone at the table slowly turned to stare at me.
"Nope,"
I said.
"I don't know you. I'm just here to do business for my business."
"And what business is that?"
he asked. And because I couldn't help it, I said,
"None of your..."
And he laughed. And my underwear almost fell off.
"Sweet molasses,"
I said weakly.
"Are you sure we've never met?"
he asked.
"You remind me of someone."
"I have that kind of face," I said.
"I wouldn't know. I can't see it. Behind all that hair."
"It's a beard."
"I can see that,"
he said.
"It's very long."
And so I leered.
"Yeah, it is."
Because my life. Then I coughed horribly and oh my gods.
"I mean, thank you. I'm proud of its length and girth. Holy crap. Shut up, Mervin.
What's a Smervin? He asked.
Sure,
I said.
Oh, no. Would you look at the time? I have another business meeting I really must attend to for business.
It's Mervin, Mary said, and forgive him. He's just nervous right now. He has a little bit of a crush on you.
Mary!
I shouted.
You traitor! I do not! I am not a foxy lady!
So you're a Sam girl, he said, sounding amused, like an asshole.
Yes,
I said.
Total Sam girl, the sammiest girl who has ever lived.
So, have heart then?
I think Sam does just fine on his own.
Ha! Flora Borislam, motherfucker. I'll be sure to let him know, he said, cocking his head at me. That pissed me off.
You do that. I'm sure he just can't wait to talk to you.
And boy, did he flinch at that one. We're so sorry to hear about Justin, Tina said, commandeering the conversation. And just because she could, her eyes filled with tears and she sniffed.
You must be so devastated.
Yes, he said tightly. It's been rough, but we're going to get him back. And then you'll be married, she said, clapping her hands, tears drying instantly. It'll be the wedding of the century with flowers and tears and cake and I love yous and duck as the main course with greens. And there will be balloons and fairy lights and vows where you say he will be yours forever and you will look into his eyes and sigh. That's a lot of words, Ryan said. You remind me a bit of Sam.
I will murder everything you love,
I snarled at him. What? He asked. Shit.
That guy behind you, he was kicking a puppy. But no need to turn around and look, he ran away. And so did the puppy, and that is the end of that story.
Probably no duck, though, Ryan said, turning back to Tina. Some people might be allergic. That wouldn't be fair.
Oh, come on!
I said loudly. Excuse me? Ryan said, looking confused.
Puppy kicker came back, but he ran away again. Man, that guy is so fast.
Mervin, Tina said, grinding her teeth. Would you at least try and act like a normal person?
Only if you try and find a way to disappear and never return.
She turned back to Ryan. I must apologize for Mervin, she said. He's not as cultured as the rest of us are used to.
I'll show you cultured,
I said, and Ryan laughed again, quickly covering it up with a cough as Tina frowned.
You'll see, she said. You'll get Justin back, slay the dragon, and then you'll be married.
I guess, he said. He smiled at her, but it was forced now. They couldn't see it because he was good at hiding. But I saw right through it. I almost felt bad for our fight earlier. The weight of Justin's kidnapping was weighing hard on him. He graciously agreed to sign autographs before he left, saying he needed to finish preparing for his trip. When he got to me, I just sat there and stared at him. The girls were too busy gushing to each other over what Ryan had written to listen to us.
Do you need me to sign anything?
He asked.
This must be fun for you,
I said. It's not bad, he said. He shook his head. I'm sorry, I swear I know you from somewhere. Where did you say you were from again?
I didn't,
I said. I was starting to feel really sweaty because he was studying me way too closely, and knowing my luck, my beard would fall off, followed by my underwear.
Oh, where are you from then?
He asked.
I grew up in the slums, I said, voice harsh. You wouldn't know anything about that.
He looked surprised.
You did?
How old are you?
87.
Right. So early 20s?
Why?
He shrugged, suddenly looking uncomfortable. Maybe that's where I would have known you. He cut himself off. My jaw dropped.
You grew up in the slums?
How had I not known that? How had I not known him?
Look, do you want me to sign anything for you? He was starting to fidget.
Here,
Mary said, sliding a piece of paper in front of me.
Mervyn is so forgetful sometimes, and I know he'd be furious if you didn't give him your autograph.
I wouldn't be furious,
I assured him.
There would be no level of fury.
Good to know, he muttered. He reached down and took the pen from Mary and wrote something on the page and slid it over to me. He quickly said his goodbyes and, with one last look at me, headed back into the crowd.
What did you do? Tina growled at me. You chased him away? How dare you? I've half a mind to ban you for life, Mervyn.
Normally, I would have swooped back in and crushed her verbally. Normally, I would have tripped her with my words until she was stumbling and yelling. That's how the meetings always ended. But not this time. Because this time, I had looked down at the autograph Ryan had signed for me, and all powers of speech fled as if I'd never had them at all.
To Mervyn, don't worry. I'm a Sam girl, too. Our secret? Ryan Foxhart.
Chapter 11, and the adventure begins. I didn't have time to do any amount of research when I got back to the castle. I thought for sure I could sneak back in and try to find out anything I could about Ryan Foxhart before he came to Castle Locks. I knew he'd been conscripted into the Knights of Varenya after serving in the King's army, but before that, I really didn't know much. But as soon as I crossed back into the castle, Morgan grabbed me by the arm and pulled me back down into the labs, despite my protests.
How did your secret meeting go?
He asked as he shut the door behind us. Secretly, I said.
You still won't tell me what it's for?
Not even if you held a sword to my neck.
That bad.
Worse, I said. But why even ask? You could easily find out. All you'd have to do is follow and I'd never know it.
I could.
He agreed.
I wouldn't, though.
Why?
Because you deserve your secrets.
He said.
Much like I deserve mine.
You have secrets?
So many.
Tell me!
I demanded. We're friends. Bros even. Bros don't keep secrets from each other.
What was your meeting about today?
Bros can totally keep secrets, I decided.
Wow, that bad. Should I be concerned?
Possibly. Probably. It's certainly not healthy.
Underground cockfighting?
I was horrified. I would never do that to roosters, I said. He winked at me.
I wasn't talking about roosters.
I threw up a little in my mouth. I just learned something new. I never want to hear the word cock come out of your mouth again.
Because you'd rather have cock come in your mouth instead.
Wow, I whispered reverently. That, Morgan, that was a thing of beauty. And so disgusting coming from you. What the hell? Thank you for subjecting me to that. And I hate you.
I've got to keep you on your toes,
he said. Then he sobered.
Are you sure about this, Sam?
Damn it. Serious time. The king asked, I said. And he has a point. Justin will be my king. Ryan will be the king consort. One day I will be sworn to protect them like you do for the king and did for the queen. It's our duty, Morgan. He watched me for a moment before replying. I knew he was trying to gauge my sincerity. And I thought myself sincere, for the most part.
You've grown,
he finally said.
Once. You were this gawky, loud little boy who turned a gang of miscreants to stone. And now you stand before me a man, making choices as a man. I thought...
He shook his head.
I'm proud of you, Sam Haversford. Sam of Wilds. I am so proud to have you as my apprentice.
I'm about to hug the crap out of you, I warned him.
Like, full-on feelings hug, where it goes on for a bit too long and becomes slightly awkward, and we both clear our throats and shuffle our feet when it's over.
Must we?
He sighed. You're proud of me, I reminded him. You think I'm awesome. You love me. Yes, we must. Open your arms, Morgan. I'm about to bring it in. He opened his arms sarcastically. I didn't know that was possible for a person to do that, but he did. Hugs, 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 I mumbled as I pulled him in. His arms circled my back, and I held on as tightly as I could, because without him, I would not have the home I did. Without him, I would not be where I was. Sometimes, things could be hard. Things could be unfair. But Morgan was my friend. More than that, he was someone I could look up to. He would never steer me wrong. I didn't know how much I needed someone like him until the day he took my hand and led me out of the alleyway, listening to me babble incessantly about pink shoes and the tears of a succubus. I sighed happily into his neck.
Sam, I think it's gone on long enough.
Shh, I said, reaching up to pet his face blindly. Not awkward yet.
No, I would have thought otherwise.
You make me have feelings, I told him seriously. Like, you're my brother, uncle, dad.
There's the awkward.
It's not awkward when it's true. Am I your brother, nephew, son? He groaned.
Will that make you let me go?
Try it and see.
Yes.
Yes what?
Yes, Sam. You're like my brother, nephew, son.
Good.
You're not letting go, are you?
No. That was a lie. You smell good. Like berries and sunshine. What lotion do you use?
Is it called Berry Sunshine?
You're my Berry Sunshine, Morgan.
He shoved me away as I laughed.
You're going to miss me, I said.
Admit it.
I am regretting every decision I ever made about you,
he retorted.
Lie. Don't front. I make your world brighter.
Please, please, please don't say anything like this to Randall,
he said.
And whatever you do, do not try to awkward hug him. That will not go over well.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as the hugging type. But then he didn't strike me as the dick-nose type, and look how that worked out.
This is going to end in disaster,
Morgan said. Have a little faith, huh? I said. I've got this. I just have to get through the whole traveling up close and personal with Ryan while going to rescue his fiancée thing, and then we'll just be peachy.
Can you do it?
Probably not, but I chose the path of false bravado. It was easier. I'm Sam of Wilds, I said with a rakish grin. I can do anything. He wasn't fooled one bit.
Sam.
I get it, okay? I know what I'm doing, okay? Most of the time. Well, sometimes. But this time, I totally do. I got this, okay? It's going to suck, sure. But it's not about me. It's about rescuing Justin and making sure he gets back home safe and sound. That is my priority, and I can do this.
I know you can,
he said quietly.
And the fact that you're even doing it in the first place says much about your character.
I scrubbed my hands over my face. Enough with all the feelings! If we keep this up, I'm just going to want to braid flowers into your beard. And I'm very good at braiding. Just ask Gary.
Enough feelings,
he said.
I've got something for you.
Presents? Gimme, gimme, gimme. It better be expensive and engraved.
It's priceless and not engraved at all.
Ooh, I said. I am very okay with this.
Wizarding secret,
he said. He pulled open a cabinet and pulled out a black box. He turned and placed the box on the table next to my grimoire.
Open it.
The box itself was made of stone.
intricate carvings on the lid and sides. I recognize some of the runes. Sun, earth, clarity, foresight. The box was old, probably ancient. Runes like this weren't used in the everyday. This was elder magic, from when the world was young and magic was a more visceral thing. I felt my own magic shiver as I traced the clarity rune with my fingers. I lifted the lid. It was heavier than I thought it'd be. There was a white cloth inside, soft and smooth. I pulled it apart. In the cloth lay a red crystal, about the length of my finger. It was thin and cut with precision. And I had absolutely no idea what it was. I touched it gently and smiled when a bright spark shot off in the crystal.
"It's a summoning crystal,"
Morgan said. "A summoning what now?"
"You're given one once you pass the trials,"
he said.
"It allows a wizard to contact other wizards who have touched the stone. This one was specifically made for you by Randall. Only he and I have touched it, so you can only contact the two of us."
"Contact?" I asked. "How?"
"It won't be corporeal," he said. "I'll be able to hear you through the stone, and you'll be able to hear me. You think of me when holding it in your hand, and I'll feel the pull of it through my own stone."
He reached into an inner pocket of his robe and pulled out a blue stone, much the same cut and size as mine.
"Use it sparingly, Sam. It's not a toy."
"I'm so going to use it as a toy," I told him. "I'm going to use it at 3 a.m. just to tell you I miss the sound of your voice. Do you think Randall will recognize me if I try to prank summon him?"
"And this is why apprentices aren't given these stones,"
he said.
"Because of shenanigans."
"My shenanigans are awesome," I said. "But why give this to me now? I'm not going through the trials with Randall. That's still years off."
"Randall suggested it."
"He what? He hates me. Why would he want me to have something this precious when I haven't earned it?" Morgan shrugged.
"I didn't question it. If Randall wanted you to have it, he has his reasons. It could be something as simple as the distance you're traveling is great, and it's better for you to have a lifeline."
"Nothing with Randall is ever simple," I reminded him. "You know that as well as I do. He's plotting something."
"Probably. I'm sure you'll find out soon enough."
"And he knows I'll be delayed?"
"Yes, he's aware. He's using his own resources to help track the prince. For now, head north to Meridian City. There are rumors the dragon was spotted near a village on the outskirts of the city called Old Clearing."
"I've been through there," I said. "Once. Saw sheep and farming."
"Food source,"
Morgan said.
3 people have disappeared from the village in the last month alone, and scorch marks were found on the ground."
"It has to be getting desperate if it's eating people," I said. "The other dragons don't do that."
"That we're aware of,"
Morgan said.
"Randall can speak for the mated pair in the north, but the desert dragon isn't as closely monitored. The great white dragon hasn't been seen in years, but I never heard of it eating any human either."
"You realize that I'll have to go through the dark woods?" Morgan stiffened as his eyes flashed.
"You'll do no such thing," he said. "Take the old road."
"Around?" I said incredulously. "That'll take weeks."
"I don't care, Sam. You have had enough dealings with the darks to last a lifetime. The last thing we need is for you to stumble on more of them."
"I could do that anywhere," I said. "They use the old road like everyone else."
"I'm aware."
He snapped at me.
"But it's one thing to stumble upon them there, as opposed to finding them where they live. You mind me on this, Sam. Stay out of the dark woods."
"But..."
"You have a job to do. Assist Knight Commander Foxheart in rescuing the prince. Then they'll return to the castle. You'll go to Randall. You'll learn from him that which I cannot teach you, and then you will come home. That is all you need to be concerned with. Do you understand?
Morgan.
Do you understand?
I narrowed my eyes. Yes. But I swear to the gods that if you're holding back from me and I find out what it is, I am going to rescind that awesome hug I just gave you, and there will be none to follow for a very long time.
The world weeps at such a thought.
But his lips quirked up, the anger fading from his eyes. It should. I give great hugs.
No dark woods,
Morgan said. Fine, I sighed. No dark woods. Fuck that. We were totally going through the dark woods. The next morning, we met in the lobby of the throne room before sunrise. Mom cried and told me I needed to think about her every day. I told her then that nothing would change because I did that already. Dad was gruff, but I could see the way his hand shook, and he told me that he would hold down the fort until I got home. I told him I expected nothing less and had to blink the burn away when he placed a rough kiss on my cheek. Morgan had said what he needed to the day before. I had the summoning crystal stowed away next to my grimoire in a rucksack that Gary wore attached to his back. He merely put a hand to my shoulder and told me he would see me soon. I told him not to let the castle run to ruin since I wasn't there to hold everything together. He assured me they would find a way. The king brought in a high priest to bless our journey. The high priest asked if he should also bless the horses we would be using. We're not riding horses, I said.
We're not?
Ryan asked, scowling prettily, like a jerk. But it's racist, I said.
It's what?
Gary was glaring at him.
But he's not a horse,
Ryan said. The glare slightly lessened. No, but it's still demeaning to him. We don't ride anywhere we go. It's how we roll. You can always stay here if that's a problem.
Maybe those legs are just for show,
Gary whispered loudly. Maybe he doesn't really know how to use them. The racist.
I don't think you're using the word racist right,
he said. Unicorns are a race, Gary snarled at him. Is Gary gonna have to...
Here come angry glitter,
Tiggy said.
I smash Night Delicious Face.
Yes, Tiggy, smash him, smash the racist. No smashing, I said, stepping in between Ryan and Tiggy. Not yet. At least wait until we actually start the epic adventure of Sam, Gary, and Tiggy.
You capitalized that, didn't you?
Morgan sighed. I did, I said. That's how you know it's epic. Gary's rage glitter subsided. The most epic there could be. And Ryan said. We all looked at him. The epic adventures of Sam, Gary, Tiggy, and Ryan, he said. If we're doing this, I'm getting in on the capitalization. Fine, I grumbled. If you must, then the name now sounds ridiculous.
Because it didn't before?
Because it didn't before, I mocked him. And again, why Night Delicious Face? Anyway, I said loudly, are we good? Did the priest give us enough hoodoo so we can get the fudge out? Sorry, Father.
It's okay,
the priest assured me.
I'm pretty sure your soul is already doomed.
There's the idolatry I know and avoid.
Sam, Ryan, a word if you would,
the king said. We followed him through the great doors into the throne room. He dismissed the two castle guards in the room, telling them to wait outside. They closed the doors behind them. Ryan stood at attention, like a good knight. I slouched. I was okay with that. The king looked down at his hands for a long time before he spoke. Finally, he said,
Justin's mother, she was a lovely woman. She was a queen, and not just a name and title. She was strong. She was kind. And she loved this kingdom with every fiber of her being. She laughed at me the first time I asked her for her name. She had a prince.
She said a prince had the means to find out such things, and she wasn't going to make it easy on me. And she didn't. At every turn, she seemed to be almost out of reach, always pushing me and pulling away. It was difficult. Many times I thought about stopping my pursuit and focusing my attention elsewhere. Many times I told myself it was the last time. Finally, one day she stopped. She turned to look at me, and her eyes were soft. She told me she loved me, and that I had better ask her to marry me. Otherwise, she was going to kick me in the shins. And so I did. She died, giving birth to Justin. There was so much joy, but it was drenched in misery. I had a son. I had lost my wife. Verenia had a future king. Verenia had just lost its queen. My soul felt dark. But there was this little light. This little bundle of light that wrapped his tiny hand around my finger and held on tightly, as if reminding me that he was still there. That she was gone, but he was not. And he needed me now, because he had lost her too. So I held on. I have made mistakes. I was not a perfect father. I could never claim to be. Justin is not a perfect son. He can be cold and calculating and manipulative. He often thinks only for himself and not of the bigger picture as a king must do. He is young and brash and full of an undeserved sense of accomplishment. But he still grabbed my finger and held on. And I will always hold on to him. The king looked up at us for the first time since we'd followed him into the throne room. I consider both of you my family. The other sons the queen could not give me. I am asking you to save your brother and bring him home so that I may remind him of the time he held on to me, because I was the only thing in the world. I ask that you bring him home so I can make him a better man. To be the king I know he can be. Ryan stood up straight and balled his right hand into a fist, bringing it up and across his chest, pressing it over his heart. On my honor, he said, I will bring him home. Kiss ass. They both looked at me. I narrowed my eyes at the king. You can't go around telling emotional stories like that and calling me your other son the moment before we leave. I need to stay here now and make you cookies and have you tell me you're proud of me and call you dad number two and then let me paint a portrait of you standing in a field of flowers. You can't paint, he reminded me.
The one time you tried, the subject of your painting looked more like a kraken than a human.
I scowled at him. Artistic impression. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, Philistine. And maybe the subject had krakenish qualities.
She was an 80-year-old grandmother named Matilda.
It wasn't that bad.
The curator of the City of Locks Art Museum demanded it be burned because it was an assault to all five senses.
The king reminded me. All five? Ryan asked. How is that even...
He used tomato paste when he ran out of red,
the king told him.
And then he left it out in the sun for 2 weeks.
It had to dry, I said. And I was 14. I was still discovering my hidden talents.
Some talents should remain hidden,
the king said, wisely. You should remain hidden, I said. Just for that, I'm not even going to stay and make you cookies and paint a portrait of you. We are leaving immediately, and you'll never get to experience the wonder that is a Sam of Wilde's original. Serves you right.
He showed it to the woman he'd painted,
the king said to Ryan.
Matilda called for a priest to exorcise it, and then she fainted.
That wasn't my fault, I said. She overreacted. Who knew 80-year-old women could be freaking drama queens?
You ate part of it in front of her.
It was performance art.
You can still call me Dad Number Two, he said.
I rolled my eyes. That's certainly up in the air. Gods. You tell me sad stories as if I don't already feel guilty enough. And now I just want to do everything you ask of me to make you happy. This is so lame. He pulled me into a hug. Cheater. I mumbled, and I hugged him back.
There's no guilt here,
he said quietly.
You did nothing wrong.
I snorted. That's certainly not true.
It is to me,
he said. God damn him, and his awesomely devastating sentimentality. It made me want to make promises I didn't know I could keep. But I said them anyway.
We'll get him back.
He pulled away and smiled at me.
I know you will. And when you come home, you'll be here to stay, okay? I have half a mind to lock you up in a tower as it is to keep you safe.
I'm not a princess. He shrugged.
Close enough.
I loved my king very much. We stood at the castle gates, a large crowd of well-wishers gathered around us. The sun was shining overhead. Fat clouds dotted the sky. There was excitement in the air. We felt young and alive, and things were happening. Pete said,
"Don't die."
Thanks, Pete. I can now go with my head held high.
No, but, like, for real, don't die. It would be sad.
Your sincerity is heartwarming.
It's what I'm here for. You better be strolling triumphantly back here as soon as you can. You got me?
I got you. I glanced back at my merry little band of travelers. A hornless gay unicorn. A half-giant. A knight who was a jerk but that I wanted to have for breakfast. And let the adventure begin! I crowed, and the crowd cheered. Streamers fell and flags flew and people shouted out our names. Wait, Gary said, and the crowd stopped cheering. Sorry, I forgot to pack my scarves. We can't leave yet. Why do you need scarves? I asked. Gary glared at me. You know how my mane looks when it gets windy. I refuse to have a bad mane day just because you can't hold your horses.
Oh my gods.
Was that racist? Ryan asked. Hold your horses? That was racist. Am I right? He elbowed Morgan. Right?
Racist.
We all slowly looked at him. What? He said, sounding defensive.
Whatever. I don't know how the whole horse racism thing works.
That much is obvious, Gary said, voice dripping with disdain. And I bet you would be just pine with me having wind rape hair. Wind rape hair? Ryan asked my parents.
It's a thing, Dad said.
Getty's very sensitive about it,
Mom said. Pete, can you go get his damn scarves? I said. He'll never let me hear the end of it if you don't. I can only imagine how the next 6 months will go.
Yes, Pete, be a dear, would you? Gary asked.
I surely wouldn't want to be a bother to Sam. I'm only carrying his possessions on my back.
I like the one with the star pattern, the silk one we got in Forakesh, and maybe the hydenic one. But heavens, that one is more of a fall scarf. And we certainly wouldn't want me to wear fall in the spring.
Gary? Okay, fine. Pete? Just grab them all. I'll make decisions as we go.
Though no one should ever have to make scarf decisions on the fly. That's just preposterous.
Pete went back inside. 10 minutes later.
And the adventure begins! I said again. The crowd clapped. It wasn't as jubilant as before.
Fuck them. We made it 2 steps.
Did you pack the hoof pick?
Gary asked. The crowd sighed.
No, I ground out. I don't have hooves. Ergo, it's not my responsibility.
Well, I certainly didn't think of it, Gary retorted. I was too busy doing lunges to make sure I was strong enough to carry all of your shit on my back like some common pack mule. And you know how my hooves get. I may be a strong,
independent unicorn, but I have delicate hooves that must be properly taken care of, lest they begin to hurt. And you know how I am with hurt hooves. Trust me, I know. The bitching never stops. Then why are you still talking about it? I ran my hand over my face. Pete?
Yes, Sam?
Could you please get Gary's hoof pick?
Yes, Sam.
Sam? Yes, Pete?
You should probably stop grinding your teeth. That's not healthy.
Thank you, Pete. I wouldn't have known otherwise. He walked away, muttering something about snarky apprentices. 5 minutes later. And the adventure begins, I muttered. A few people clapped. Most just stared. We made it 3 steps. Tiggy, Gary called. Oh, Tiggy, did you remember to pack your pajamas? You know you can't sleep without your pajamas. Tiggy's shoulders slumped.
I forgot,
he said. Pete?
Yes, Sam?
Tiggy's pajamas.
Yes, Sam.
7 minutes later. And the adventure begins, I snarled. No one clapped this time. I took a step. Nothing. And then another. Nothing. And then another. Still nothing. I breathed a sigh of relief. I held my head up and looked north. Oh, shoot, Gary said. I forgot my...
Gary,
I shouted at him. Kidding, kidding. Jeez, Sam. Maybe calm down a little bit, huh? You're looking a little stressed out. Maybe we should play a traveling game, like I Spy or something. Gary, you don't know how to play I Spy. Every time you mess it up and say exactly what it is you're looking at. I do not. Watch. I spy with my little eye something that is the castle. Gary? Sam has a guess, everyone. The joy I feel is rapturous. Is it the castle? Yes, he said, beaming. You are so good at the... Wait. Damn it. This is going to be a long trip, I mumbled as I led the way to the gates of the City of Locks. I'll go again. I spy with my little eye something that is that chair. You'll never guess. Damn it. Chapter 12. 6-inch-tall, angry, naked men with wings. 4 days later, Gary still hadn't quite figured out how to play I Spy. Ryan tried to explain the concept, but it was pointless. I didn't tell him that, because it kept him occupied and his attention off of me. I still wasn't sure if I was mad at him, even if he was a self-proclaimed Sam girl. I pretended that note meant absolutely nothing to me, even though I looked at it every night before I fell asleep. Shut up. I could feel him looking at me every now and then, but I stared resolutely forward, watching and waving to everyone that passed us on the old road. Many had already heard of the dragon taking Justin, but none had actually seen the dragon itself. The first night we stayed at an inn in a little hamlet outside of the City of Locks. Ryan was swarmed as soon as we got inside, people clamoring to meet him. Gary, Tiggy, and I ditched him immediately and made our way up to the room. Ryan stumbled in hours later, going for the empty bed, since Tiggy, Gary, and I were curled up on the other one, Tiggy's legs off the end as he held up against his chest. I cracked open an eye, and Ryan had a frown on his face as he glanced over at us. I didn't know what that frown meant, but I took it as extraordinary judging that he was not allowed on the cool kid's bed, and therefore was feeling sad and alone and wishing he had been invited. That probably wasn't it at all, but it sure as shit made me feel better. The third night, we camped under the stars. Gary tried to tell a ghost story, but got distracted by fireflies and chased them. Ryan smiled quietly after him, and I wanted to throw my jar of beans at his face. The fourth day, we came to the fork in the road where the River Hermed, which bisected Varania from the tributaries in the north until